This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم اهد قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين. We will continue with our study of the story of Adam عليه السلام from Surah Al-Baqarah. In the passage in Surah Al-Baqarah that we were reading about the story of Adam عليه السلام, we learned in the first verse that about the time, right before the creation of Adam alayhi salam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed the angels of his intention to place a successor on the earth. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed the angels of his intention to place a new creation on the earth who would succeed the previously predominant creation and now inhabit the earth. And we learned that the angels expressed their amazement and they asked why another creation should be placed on earth who will create mischief and cause bloodshed. That why create a creation that will disobey you, O Allah, and commit sin and commit shirk, when we not only glorify and praise you, we also declare your perfect purity. So we can learn from that that the angels do not like that Allah is disobeyed, that sin is committed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them that I know what you do not know. I know the benefit and the good in creating Adam, and you do not know that benefit and that good. So in the ayat that we're going to study today, we will see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proves to the angels the good in Adam and the fact that Adam will not create fasad in the earth and cause bloodshed, and his children will not just do that, they will also do other things. And we see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put forth before the angels matters which made clear to them the virtue of Adam, and also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's perfect wisdom and knowledge in the creation of Adam, in the creation of mankind. And I hope that inshallah this discussion helps us helps us develop clarity on the issue of why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. Because many people wonder, you know, there's so much chaos on the earth, there's so much wrong and evil on the earth, why did Allah create humanity? So I hope that inshallah today's discussion helps us come to terms with that inshallah. So we see that Adam alayhi salam was given preference over the angels. How? Through knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in ayah number 31 of Surah Al-Baqarah, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ فَقَالَ أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. And he taught Adam the names, all of them. Then he showed them to the angels and said, inform me of the names of these if you are truthful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says over here, وَعَلَّمَ Adam al-Asma, and he taught Adam the names. Who taught Adam the names? Allah taught. Allah gave knowledge to Adam of the names. Which names? Kullaha, all of them. And this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's immense favor upon Adam, Abu al-Bashar, the father of humanity, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him what he did not know. كَمَا عَلَّمَكُمْ مَا لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ. And Adam alayhi salam was not born with this knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him this knowledge. So it is with knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored humanity over the rest of the creation. And it is knowledge through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave preference to Adam over the angels. Now there's a question. What were these things whose names Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught to Adam? Al-asma'a kullaha, all of these names were of things, right? Of people or of things. So what were these things whose names Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam alayhi salam of? Now, al-asma' are names, and names can be of things, they can be of people, they can be of places, of objects. So these were names of things that were present there at the time. Because later on we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the angels that أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاء, tell me the names of these. So these, whatever these things were, they were present over there. They were before the angels, before Adam, which is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the angels, tell me the names of these things. If those things were not there, then the angels would not be able to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not ask them a question that was incomplete, right? So أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاء. Now, so these things were present over there. Or the ulama say that these were things that Adam and his children would be in immediate need of in order to live, in order to have khilafah on the earth. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that these were, you know, names of things that are well known among people, such as human, animal, earth, sky, mountain, wet, dry, donkey, etc. So these were basically nouns or different words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam alayhi salam. And when you know the names, then that means that you can identify the things, and then you are able to recognize their different qualities, their different descriptions, and also their functions. So Adam alayhi salam was given some vocabulary, right? Then it is also said that the names over here refers to the names of the angels, or the names of the children of Adam, all right? And some ulama say that al-asma'a kullaha, all of the names, this means all of the languages, okay? All of the languages. And based on this, the ulama say that all languages are tawqifiyya, meaning they have been divinely inspired by Allah to Adam alayhi salam. You need the ability to acquire knowledge, to acquire language acquisition, and also to use language, all right, to speak, to apply. And you cannot just learn and apply without cognition, without understanding. So all of this was given to Adam alayhi salam. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows precisely what these things were and what these names in particular were. And at the end of the day, we cannot know what exactly these names were, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not informed us of that. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not inform us of a particular detail in a story, that means that there is no benefit for us in knowing that particular detail. However, we can definitely extract from this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Adam alayhi salam the knowledge of the names of things. So Adam alayhi salam was able to identify these things, know these things, and by extension then benefit from them. And Adam alayhi salam had vocabulary. If you think about it, vocabulary is essential for communication. Knowing the name of a thing means that you can identify it. When it comes to processing our feelings, you know, this is something basic that is taught, that in order to process your feelings, first of all, identify what you are feeling. Label those feelings, because once you can label them, once you can identify them, then you can process them properly. You can, sit with them, let them pass through your system. And likewise, when it comes to different things, if you don't know what they are, if you don't identify them, you cannot use them. You cannot do what you want to with them. So knowing the names of things is very different from not knowing the names of things. You see, animals are very intelligent, right? We see that animals can be very intelligent, but animals do not know the names of things. You can train them through positive reinforcement to recognize certain words, but that is not knowledge of words. It is just conditioning, which is, you know, associated with a sound, right? And it can also be associated with an action or even an object. We learned that in the Quran about mantiq al-tayr, the mantiq, the communication of the birds. But it is not the lisan, it is not the language of the birds. What sets the human being apart from the rest of the creation is their knowledge of the names of things. It is their ability to communicate, to develop language, to use language, and to have vocabulary. And it is because of this that humans have khilafah on earth and other creatures do not. So this is a huge favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. And think about it. If we did not know that bread is bread, that sourdough is sourdough bread, or that a bagel is a bagel, or that a paratha is a paratha, or that French bread is French bread, how would we ask for it? If we did not know sad is sad, or happy is happy, how would we process our emotions and communicate our feelings? So this is a huge favor upon us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the knowledge of the names of things. And the thing is that the more words you know, the better it is for you to communicate and to express yourself, right? And if you ever go to a place where you don't know the language of the people, how hard it is to navigate, right? You cannot read road signs. You cannot understand what people are saying. You cannot ask for what you are in need of. And this shows us the importance of knowing the names of different things and also naming important things in your life. Because when you know the names of different things, when you have a rich vocabulary, you are able to identify things and you are able to clearly communicate also. We see that the Prophet ﷺ had named the things of his use. The things that he owned and that he used frequently, he had actually named them. So, for example, we learned that the Prophet ﷺ had 7 coats of mail, basically what you wear as a protection for your body in war. And he had actually named each one of them. So we learned about the names of these coats of mail: Dhatul Fudul, Dhatul Wishah, Dhatul Hawashi, Fidda, Batr, Kharnaq. Okay. We also learn about the bows, the bow and arrow. So the bows that he had, they were also named Zawra, Wija, Safra, Bayda, Kuthum. He had shields. And even the shields had names, Zaluq, Fataq. He had swords, and their names were Mathur, Dhulfiqar, Hanaf, Dasub, Qadib. Any different names he had for the swords that he owned. He had names for tents. He had a name for his staff, Mamshuq. He had a name for his turban, Sahab. He had a name for his flag, Iqab. Uqab. There was a dish we learn in Hadith that was called Gharra. Even his donkey was called Ufair. We learn about different companions. Abu Talha radiallahu anhu, his horse was called Mandub. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, his camel was called the moon. So sometimes we think that knowing the names of different things is unnecessary. It's not unnecessary. This actually makes you better at recognizing things and also better at understanding things and better at communicating. A simple thing, for example, people will, look at cars and they'll be like, yeah, there was a blue car. Okay. And somebody else will say, that was a blue Mazda. Okay. And they will specify, which kind of a blue Mazda it was. Right. Now, if you tell someone that, can you go, these are my car keys. Can you go to my car? It's a blue car. And can you go get my bag from my car? Now, if they go outside and they find three blue cars, what's going to happen? They're going to have to come back and ask you which blue car, right? And if you tell them the name of your car, yes, you could be very imaginative or very, you could have a particular name for your car. That's fine. But the name that the car is known by, the make, the model, that is something that you should know, right? And that is something, if you use, your communication will be easier. It's amazing, how do we sometimes refer to different items in our lives? We say, can you please pass me the thing? Which thing? The thing on the thing. Or the thing in the thing. If you refer to everything as a thing, then your communication is not very clear. So knowing the names of different things requires some kind of effort. And it means that you have a rich vocabulary, which actually improves communication. And not only do you have faster communication skills, but your communication also becomes simpler when you have a richer vocabulary. Not fancier, but richer. So how can we improve our vocabulary? We should read more. We should listen more. We should talk to different types of people. We should study more. And of course, start young. So if you have little children around you, don't talk to them in a baby way. Talk to them in a proper way so that they can hear each sound and repeat the words. So for example, if they pick up a ball, say ball, ball. If they pick up a book, say book, book. Point to different things and name them. This is how you build vocabulary. It has to start young. And when it comes to the names of different things or different concepts, like for example, different terminology even, this is basically knowledge of the dunya, right? It's worldly knowledge. But think about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is giving Adam the knowledge of the names of different things, right? So when you study a worldly science even, and you learn, for example, different terminologies in science, in psychology, then think that you are learning asma. You are learning the names of things, of concepts, all right? Which is something good and beneficial. It is not a waste of your time. So, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam all of the names. Now, there is a question. How did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teach him these names? How did this learning happen on the part of Adam alayhi salam? Some say that this knowledge was inspired to Adam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ingrained this knowledge within the mind of Adam, so it was preserved in the memory of Adam alayhi salam. And later on, when he needed to use those words, all right, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Adam to tell the angels the names of those things, he was able to retrieve those words from his memory and use them. He was able to recall and say the words and name the things. But you cannot just say words and name things without comprehension, right? Without cognition. So it shows that it was not just words, but with the words was also understanding of what those words were referring to. And this is something that the angels did not have the ability to do. So وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam the names, all of them, ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ, then he presented them to the angels. He presented what to the angels? Those things. All right, whose names Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam. فَقَالَ أَنْبِئُونِي, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angels that أَنْبِئُونِي, inform me, بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاء, of the names of these, إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, if you are truthful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught the names to Adam alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught the names to Adam alayhi salam, but presented those things to the angels. Why? In order to test them. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala test the angels? Because they had raised a question earlier about why Adam was being created to be a successor on earth. Right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them at that time that I know what you do not know. But then through this test, through this experience, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed the angels the wisdom in creating Adam and in making him the Khalifa on earth. And inshallah, we'll talk about that later on. Now I want you to notice something here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ, then he presented them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say ثُمَّ عَرَضَهَا, then he presented it. Okay? There's a difference between whom and ha. Whom is a pronoun that is used to refer to intelligent beings. Or you could say like living things. Okay? But also intelligent beings, any living things who have intelligence. And if ha, the pronoun ha was used, then it would be just referring to inanimate things. Okay? So, ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ shows us that these things whose names Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam alayhi salam included intelligent and unintelligent things. Okay? Living and non-living things. But the living, the intelligent, were more. The ذوي العقول were more than غير ذوي العقول. Okay, any the intelligent beings were more than those who did not have intelligence. So this gives us a hint into what those things were whose names Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught to Adam alayhi salam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, tell me the names of these things if you are truthful. And if you are truthful in your claim that this Khalifa, this successor, will only create mischief and cause bloodshed on the earth, and that you are superior to him, then, okay, go ahead, tell me the names of these things. You see, the angels had assumed that the children of Adam on becoming the successor on earth would only create mischief and cause bloodshed. So in order to prove them wrong in their assumption, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them observe the children of Adam, right? All of the souls were brought forth from Adam alayhi salam. And I mentioned that to you yesterday, that how when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam, He brought out of him all of the souls of his children, right? And all the people who were going to be born, their souls were taken out. So the angels saw them. And among them were those who were righteous. So in the hadith, we learn about how Adam alayhi salam noticed Dawood alayhi salam among his children. And he asked about who Dawood was, right? Who he was going to be, because Dawood alayhi salam was very, he looked very handsome. Anyway, we learn in the hadith about how Adam alayhi salam noticed Dawood alayhi salam. So of course, among the children of Adam were those who were righteous, those who were exceptional, those whose beauty, in terms of not just their physical beauty, but their beauty in their character, in their ibadah, it was shining, right? So the angels observed the children of Adam, right? And among those children are those who are righteous slaves of Allah. Of course, among them is also Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed them the children of Adam. Then to further prove to them that Adam and his children are fit for khilafah on earth, all right, that Adam and his children are not just creatures with physical ability and desire. No, they're different. They have a mind, all right? And they are able to learn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demonstrated to the angels the intelligence of Adam, the cognitive abilities of Adam, which shows us that from the beginning, the human brain, it is extraordinary, right? And this showed to the angels that Adam is fit for khilafah because his brain is different. It is far more advanced, especially in cognitive and mental skills. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the angels, tell me the names of these things. When the angels failed to tell him the names of those things, they realized that Adam knows what we do not know. Adam has a skill that we do not have, a skill that we have not seen before, that we have not witnessed before. And that skill is of cognitive ability. All right? And this shows us that for khilafah on earth, tasbih and taqdis alone are not enough. Because the angels did tasbih, they glorified and praised Allah, right? They would declare the perfect purity of Allah. But that is not enough for khilafah on earth. Knowledge of names is also needed, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to Adam only and not the angels. The angels are not the khalifa on the earth. And this is why they were not given this knowledge. The angels were given knowledge of the things that they were supposed to do, that they are supposed to do. And they're excellent at what they do, and they're equipped with those skills. Right? But Adam alayhi salam was made to be khalifa on earth. And in order to be khalifa on earth, you don't just need to know how to worship Allah, you also need to know how to live on the earth, how to know and recognize and identify the different things on earth, to comprehend, to advance in your knowledge, in your skill. This is what sets human beings apart from other creatures. And this teaches us that whatever we do, we should do it well. Whatever we learn, we should learn it well. We should gain proficiency in our knowledge and our skills. Sometimes people think that, the knowledge of the world is unnecessary and it is useless. Or people try to really compartmentalize between deen and dunya. And they try to separate them. And this is not the right approach. In our religion, deen and dunya are not separate. They're together. Think about it. If you do an act of worship, for example, but for worldly gain, there is no reward. And if you do a worldly thing, like for example, you're eating food, but you do it for a religious gain so that you can worship Allah, there is actually reward. Right? For example, when you eat suhoor, when you eat iftar, you are actually rewarded for what you eat. Why? Because with what you eat, you're going to fast. With what you eat, you are breaking your fast. You're completing your fast. So your eating is part of worship. Subhanallah. So don't try to separate deen from dunya. Realize that the knowledge of both is necessary. You need to learn how to glorify and praise and worship Allah. And you also need to learn how to live in this world. You need to learn the names of, for example, different emotions, different feelings, different parts of your body, right? Different foods that you eat, different things that you use in your life. You have to know the names of these things, and that requires study. So what happened here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presented those things to the angels. فَقَالَ أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ He said, tell me the names of these if you are truthful. أَنْبِئُونِي Now, I'm sure if you are familiar with the verses of the Quran, you have heard the word نَبِّئ. نَبِّئ. نَبَّأَهُمْ Unabbi'ukum, okay? Yunabbi'uhum. So there is a word that is nabba'a, and there is another word that is amba'a, like here, ambi'uni. And there is a difference between the two. It hasn't been said over here, faqala nabbi'uni. It has been said ambi'uni, okay? And the thing is that basically, when you say nabbi', it shows that you need more time in order to inform of what you're trying to communicate. Okay? And the word ambi shows that less time is needed. So this shows us that ambi'uni bi asma'i ha'ula, the things that were presented before the angels, all right, whose names they were asked, were not a lot of things. Because a lot of time was not needed to name those things, to identify those things. So, فَقَالَ أَنْبِئُونِ بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ Just those few names even, tell me, all right, إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ If you are truthful. And we learn later on that the angels were not able to say those names. They were not able to give the answer, to tell those names, because they did not have that knowledge. So there is a number of things that we can learn from this ayah. First of all, we learn about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored Adam alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored the children of Adam alayhi salam. How? By giving them preference over the rest of the creatures. And how exactly did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give preference to human beings over the rest of the creatures? Through knowledge. Primarily through knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Isra, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَفَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا تَفْضِيلًا And certainly, we honored the children of Adam. And we carried them on land and sea. And we provided them with good things. And we gave them preference over many among whom we have created. Okay? Now there is a number of things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in that ayah of Surah Al-Isra, verse 70. First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that certainly we honor the children of Adam. Right? How? That is detailed then. وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ We carried them on land and sea. Meaning we gave them the ability to travel through land and sea. Well, other creatures also manage to travel on earth. Yani they're able to go from one place to the other. We learn about elephants, how they migrate. Right? Different animals, they're constantly on the go, they're constantly migrating. But the way that people go from one place to another is different. They're able to, yani hamalnahum, we carried them. Yani they don't walk on their feet. They have means of transportation. How? They're able to domesticate animals and use them for transportation on land, right? And they're also able to build different things with which they can travel easily from one place to another. Now tell me, how can a person domesticate animals? How can people train animals? And how can people build, you know, different modes of transportation without having cognition? Without being able to identify different things and put them together, know their unique functions, all right? Put them together and then make cars and things like that. So, وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ We carried them on sea. Yani we have given them the ability to travel on sea, on water, right? Now, this also requires what? Knowledge of physics, right? That what materials float, what materials sink, and how should boats be built, how should ships be built so that they don't sink? And then what should be put on them in terms of sails and engines, right? And how to navigate on sea. Subhanallah, this requires a lot of understanding, a lot of comprehension, a lot of mental skill. And this knowledge is unique to human beings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it to human beings. وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ We have provided them with good things. We are able to tell between what is good and what is bad. And sometimes you see how animals... they're eating garbage, rotten food, right? Because they don't know what is good, what is not. Like, I remember when I was little, so often, on Eid, when the goats would come, children, if they would be silly, they would feed paper to the goats, right? They don't know it's not food. وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَفَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا تَفْضِيلًا And we have given preference to them, meaning to people, to human beings, over many of those whom we have created. So all of the children of Adam are dignified, are worthy of honor, whether they are Muslim or not, wealthy or poor. Doesn't matter what their race is. What the color of their skin is, how advanced or not they are, whether they're male or female. All human beings have been honored by Allah. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ How? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them a mind, a very advanced brain that can do amazing things, that can retain, that has memory, that has cognition, that has the ability to acquire language, to use language, to understand different things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all of you from a single soul, and from that single soul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created its mate, and then from the two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought out many men and women. So all the men, all the women on the earth, all human beings are who? They are the children of Adam. And by virtue of being children of Adam, they are honorable. So we should show dignity to all human beings. And then we can learn from this ayah that it is through knowledge, right, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed huge favor upon human beings. And this shows us that when a person is given knowledge that others do not have, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favor and mercy on them. Ar-Rahman 'allama al-Qur'an, khalaqa al-insan, 'allamahu al-bayan. Ar-Rahman, the most merciful, 'allama al-Qur'an, taught the Qur'an, khalaqa al-insan, created the human being, 'allamahu al-bayan, and taught him communication, expression. So any knowledge that you have, whether it is of the Qur'an, or it is the ability to express yourself, and whatever it is that you express yourself with, and it shows that you have, you know, something in your mind that you are saying, right? You have learned something that you are saying. So whatever knowledge you have, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favor on you. And if you have been given knowledge that others around you don't have, this is truly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and favor on you, not something to be arrogant about. And then we see here that Adam alayhi salam was given privilege over the rest of the creatures. How? By the fact that Allah gave him knowledge. And this is true. With knowledge, a person becomes worth more honor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ, that Allah raises those who believe among you and those who are given knowledge among you by degrees. Yani the more knowledge a person has, the higher their rank is. And knowledge is needed before action. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, know, fa'lam, know that there is no God but Allah. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ, and seek forgiveness for your sins. So action comes after knowledge, right? Knowledge comes before action. First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, no. Then he says, seek forgiveness. And the benefit of learning, especially sacred knowledge, revealed knowledge, is that a person increases in their fear of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Indeed, it is only the knowledgeable among his slaves who fear Allah. And when you extend this knowledge of deen to knowledge of dunya, right? For example, you learn about the different fish that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in the sea. You learn about how a particular bird migrates, or you learn about a particular system in your body. You learn about how the brain functions, all right? What does that do? It makes you even more appreciative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favors. It makes you feel more in awe of Allah azza wa jal, that how perfect is Allah and how amazing is Allah that He created our brains in such a way? So ilm increases us in khashya. And when a person gains knowledge, their path towards paradise becomes easy. And their ability to do good also increases. Imam al-Shafi'i said that after fulfilling the obligations, there is nothing better than seeking knowledge. And it is the best thing that you can do, that you seek knowledge after fulfilling your obligations, your duties to Allah Azza wa Jal, and also to the people in your life. And it is with knowledge that the life has heart. SubhanAllah, Ibn Qayyim said that knowledge for the hearts is like rain is for the earth. Is rain needed for the earth to have life? Absolutely. And when rain falls, then the earth softens, then the seeds are able to sprout, then you have vegetation, then you have different forms of life, birds, insects, etc. And if there's no rain, there's no life on earth. Just like that, if there's no knowledge, there's no life of the heart. SubhanAllah. And knowledge includes all types of knowledge here. Knowledge of the world and knowledge of the akhirah, of the deen. Imam Ahmad said that knowledge, and he said that people are in need of knowledge more than they need food and drink. People need knowledge more than they need food and drink. Can you imagine? Why did he say that? He explained. He said, because a man only needs to eat and drink once or twice a day. Right? But he needs knowledge way more than that. As many times as he breathes. Subhanallah. And you think about it. These days that you're fasting, you only need to eat once or twice. Right? That's sufficient. You survive. But when it comes to knowledge, you need it for every little thing that you do. And even for you to take a step, for you to climb stairs, for you to fold your clothes, for you to turn on or off the light, for you to turn on your phone, right? And these are just the mundane, the worldly things, right, that you do on a regular basis. Think about your need of knowledge in order to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can you pray Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha if you don't know? How can you pray them on time if you don't know about time? If you don't understand the concept of time? If you're not able to tell time? Right? How are you able to pray if you're not able to have a sense of direction? Which way the Qibla is? So all of the skills that we acquire over time, the ability to move our body a certain way, the ability to have a sense of time, a sense of direction, and then the knowledge of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how to perform salah, all of this is based on what? On ilm. And not just a little bit of ilm, a lot of ilm, different types of ilm. So we are in need of ilm, of knowledge, more than we need to eat and drink. And one of the scholars said that there is nothing in the world that resembles the blessings of the hereafter except for the blessing of iman and knowledge and ilm. And not just blessing, it's the pleasure. Okay? Yani the feeling of faith, of having iman, and the feeling that you have with knowing different things, these are actually pleasures, the enjoyments of the hereafter. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also put them in this world, subhanallah. And if a person continues to seek knowledge and they die while seeking knowledge, then this is actually a sign of a good ending. And when a person seeks beneficial knowledge, this is something that will not only benefit them now, if they pass on that knowledge to others, then this will continue to benefit them even after they have departed from the world, as the Prophet ﷺ explained. And Ibn al-Jawzi said that the first trick of shaitan is to prevent people from learning. Because knowledge is light. Knowledge is light. So what does shaitan want? Shaitan wants us to remain in darkness. So he keeps people away from learning sacred knowledge. Because when their lamps are extinguished, they are in the dark, then shaitan can make them wander around in darkness however he wants. So ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is actually very, very dangerous. It's dangerous for you. It's dangerous for your children. In order to have confidence, in order to make right decisions, and in order to keep ourselves safe, we need to have knowledge. Sometimes people will keep their children in complete ignorance of their bodies, of different body parts, for example. And they think that they're protecting their children. They're not protecting their children. They're putting their children in danger. So we learn from this ayah about the importance of learning, how it benefits us, how it is a means of virtue over the rest of the creatures. And when we advance in our growth, you know, of knowledge, then this is something that will benefit us not only in the world, but also in the hereafter. It is what will bring us dignity and honor in the hereafter. Now we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Adam alayhi salam the knowledge that he needed to have for khilafah on earth. And this shows us that a khalifa on earth, a successful khalifa needs two things. Okay, first of all, authority, liberty, free will, all right, the ability to do what he wants, okay? And then secondly, knowledge and skill. Both of these things are required. And this is what made Adam alayhi salam different from the rest of the creatures. We see, for example, animals on the earth, they may have the, you know, free will to walk how they want, where they want, fly where they want, things like that. But they don't have the ability to exert their choices, which are based on knowledge and skill. For example, as human beings, we learn different skills, we develop different skills, and then we apply them. And with that is human advancement. If animals were able to do that, they too would be constructing buildings, all right, roads and things like that, domesticating other creatures, all right, taking over the world, but that's not happening. Then we also see in this ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested the angels, which is something completely permissible, right? It is permissible to test students in order to see where they stand, and it's also permissible to challenge people. Next ayah. Ayah number 32, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. They said, exalted are you. We have no knowledge except what you have taught us. Indeed, it is you who is the knowing, the wise. The angel said in response to the question, أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Inform me of the names of these if you are truthful. The angel said, سُبْحَانَكَ. Exalted are you, O Allah. لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا. We have no knowledge at all. إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا. Except what you have taught us. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. Indeed, you truly are knowing, the wise. The angels show humility and utmost respect to Allah Azza wa Jal, because they realized here that they did not know the names of those things, right? They did not have the skill that Adam alayhi salam had. And they realized the virtue of Adam. They saw the good in him. And they saw the fact that Adam was indeed fit for khilafah on the earth. So very respectfully, they said, Subhanaka, la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana. Why do they say Subhanaka? What does Subhanaka mean? Subhanaka means that we declare your perfection. That we declare you free of any weakness, any ignorance, any inability, any need of creation or resemblance to them. Oh Allah, you are perfect. Subhanaka. They are declaring the perfection of Allah. Why? Because what had they done before? They had asked a question, seeking clarification that, oh Allah, why create a khalifa on earth who is going to cause mischief and bloodshed? So now they realize their error in asking that question. So they declare Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's perfection. And then they say, La ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana. We have no knowledge except what you have taught us. Yani, it is not possible for us to know the knowledge of everything, right? We are not capable of knowing everything. We are only able to know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us. And this is a very important thing to realize. Even as human beings, we cannot know everything. Who is the one who knows everything? It is only Allah Azza wa Jal, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. They cannot encompass anything of His knowledge except what He wills. All knowledge belongs to Allah. He is Al-Alim. He is Al-Allam Al-Ghuyub. We are not. So if we know anything, it is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to know it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught it to us. And the angels say, La ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana, because this is a fact. The angels only know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught them. The angels do not know everything. So for example, the angels who are appointed over the clouds, they know the knowledge of the clouds, right? How to drive them, how to take them different places, how to cause them to, rain down and things like that. The angels that are appointed over taking the souls of the children of Adam, the angel of death, they know their skill, right? So angels are appointed to do different tasks. And each angel knows what it is supposed to do and how it is supposed to do it. So the angels don't know everything. They only know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught them. And the difference between the knowledge of the angels and the knowledge of human beings, the knowledge of Adam, is that Adam alayhi salam was given the knowledge of names. And when you are able to know and identify different things, that means that you can increase in your knowledge, you can expand on your knowledge through what? Through observation, through experimentation, through experience. Your knowledge will increase. All right? It is not stagnant. And this is what happens. This is how the brain works. That when you know something, that becomes a stepping stone for knowing something new, right? And different, methods are used, like scaffolding, in order to help people learn. And you build on what a person already knows in order to teach them a new lesson, right? In order to give them new knowledge. So this is the difference between the knowledge of Adam and the knowledge of the angels. The angels only know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught them. Of course, human beings also only know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also taught human beings the ability to expand on their knowledge. All right? To increase their ilm through observation, experimentation, and experience and growth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that He brought us forth from the wombs of our mothers in a state that we know nothing, right? However, He has made for us eyes and ears and hearts. Why? So that we can learn. وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. Right? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought you forth from the wombs of your mothers and you knew nothing. وَجَعْلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. And He made for you vision and hearing and hearts. Why? So that you can learn. So this is the difference between the knowledge of the angels and the knowledge of the human beings. The angels say, إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. Indeed, you truly, O Allah, are al-alim al-hakim. We are not all-knowing. We are not all-wise. You alone are all-knowing, all-wise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said earlier to the angels that I know what you do not know. And the angels acknowledge that over here, that, oh Allah, you are al-alim, you know everything. You know what we do not know, right? And they mention two names of Allah, al-alim and al-hakim. Al-alim means the one who is ever-knowing, yani the one who has encompassed everything in his knowledge. So this means that there is nothing that is hidden from Allah, nothing that escapes his knowledge, nothing small, nothing big, not even an atom somewhere in the sky or somewhere in the earth is hidden or unknown to Allah. No, everything small and big is known to Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is ashamil al-kamil, yani it is complete and it is all-inclusive, yani it includes every single thing, every single thing. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also al-hakim, the ever-wise, yani he is perfect in his wisdom, subhanallah. Yani there is nothing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does, nothing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates, nothing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows, nothing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees, except that it is based on his perfect wisdom. When we do things, we don't think that far, right? And there are many times when we are very unwise in the things that we say and in also what we do. And we realize our mistake within a few moments, right? We have regret immediately after saying something inappropriate. So we are impulsive, right? We don't always have the wisdom to choose the best action, to choose the best words, because our wisdom is incomplete. Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Hakim, the ever-wise, which means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not make a mistake. He does not do anything wrong. He does not do anything useless or frivolous or unnecessary or anything that is not good. The angel said, they asked that, will you create someone who is going to cause mischief and bloodshed on the earth? And then they realize that Adam is different. Adam is not just someone who has been created with desire or physical ability. So he's not bound to, and he doesn't just have the potential to cause bloodshed and mischief. No, he also has the potential to do a lot of good. And the mental capability of Adam alayhi salam, it truly showed to the angels that Adam is superior. Adam is different. Human beings are unique. They're extraordinary. So they realized the wisdom of Allah. And so they said, إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. Indeed, you are knowing and you are wise. You do not make mistakes. You do not make any wrong decisions. And this is something that we need to remember also, that there are things in the universe that we understand, and there are other things that we do not understand. We do not comprehend. For example, some people have a lot of difficulty understanding why we were created. Or they ask, why have I been created? I never chose to be created, right? I did not get to make that choice. And primarily they ask this question because there's a lot of suffering, either in their personal life or they witness it. And so they do not like to live. They do not like the idea of living. Subhanallah. So the thing is, you don't understand everything. You don't know everything. And that is right. That is the case. Who knows everything? Allah Azza wa Jal. Who is all wise in his decisions? Allah Azza wa Jal. Innaka antal alimul hakim. So when we don't know something, then trust Allah's knowledge. When we don't understand something, trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom, because he does not make mistakes. We learn different lessons from this ayah. We learn that, first of all, the angels are intelligent beings, right? Because they speak. Even though they don't know everything, they don't know the knowledge that human beings have, but still, they are intelligent beings. We see that the angels are very humble before Allah. They glorify Allah, subhanaka, and they acknowledge their lack of knowledge. La ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana. And this is also something that we need to do. When we don't know something, when we don't understand something, instead of becoming arrogant, we should become humble over there. Instead of becoming arrogant, that why is it like this and why is it like that and this doesn't make any sense, what should we do? We should be humble over there. Because arrogance does not befit us. And imagine if you are cooking something and let's say you mix the ingredients and, you know, when you're cooking something, it goes through different stages, right? In every stage, it looks different. Like let's say you're making bread, right? And you make a really nice ball of dough. Now, what are you going to do to that ball of dough? You're going to let it rise. And it looks perfect. Once risen, it looks perfect. But then what do? You take out all of the air. You punch it. You roll it. You take out all of the air. Now, if a child who doesn't know what you're doing, if they're watching you, they're going to start criticizing you that you're ruining the ball of dough. It looks so perfect. Why are you ruining it? So you laugh at that because the child doesn't know what you're doing, right? And if the child becomes rude over there and begins to insult you and criticize you, then this is something very disrespectful. This is actually very foolish behavior on the part of that child, but you don't give it much importance because it's just a child. If an adult starts to do that, then you say, what's your problem? Right? You don't know what you're talking about. It doesn't, you don't deserve to talk to me like that. You don't deserve to criticize me like that because you don't know what I'm doing. So when we don't understand something that's happening in our lives or in the universe, all right, and we know that everything happens by the will of Allah, by the permission of Allah, then that does not mean that we begin to criticize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decrees. That does not mean that we begin to object. No, that means that we trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom. When we don't know something, trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge. When we don't understand something, trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom. Innaka antal alimul hakim. And it's very important that we do not speak without knowledge. It is actually part of knowledge to say that I don't know. Like what the angel said, right? The angels did not begin to guess. When they were asked the names of those things, they didn't say, this or that. They didn't come up with, random things guessing. No, they just admitted right there, we don't know. We don't know. So this is part of knowledge, to know your limits, to know that your knowledge is limited. When a person admits that they don't know everything, this shows that they are an intelligent person. There is a narration in which we learned that, there were some people who heard a man talking about the Day of Judgment. All right, and talking about an ayah of the Quran that mentions smoke, all right, and that man began to say things like, that smoke will come on the Day of Judgment and it will deprive the hypocrites of their ability to hear, their ability to see, and he began saying things like that. So the people who were listening, they got a bit surprised. They had never heard of anything like that. So they went to Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu to ask him, to confirm from him. When Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu heard what that man had said, he became very angry. He sat up and he said, he who knows something should say it. But if he does not know, he should say Allah knows best. Because it is a part of knowledge to say, I do not know, if you do not know a certain thing. So Abdullah bin Mas'ud, he knew that the man was saying things of his own mind, of his own opinion. And he was just saying things that were made up, right? And you know, he was giving a wrong interpretation of the ayah of the Quran. So Abdullah bin Mas'ud got very upset over there. Likewise, if we are ever asked about something, the answer to which we do not know, then we should not start assuming things or just, you know, talking from our imagination. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولًا. That when you don't know something, don't pursue it. Don't say that you know it. Don't pretend like you know everything. Because your hearing, your vision, your heart, all of that will be questioned on the Day of Judgment. And your eyes will be asked, did you see? Your ears will be asked, did you hear? And on what basis did you say you know it if you did not see it, if you did not hear it, if you did not know it? You will be questioned on the Day of Judgment. Then what happened in the next ayah we learn? قَالَ يَا آدَمُ أَنْبِئْهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O Adam, inform them of their names. فَلَمَّا أَنْبَأَهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ. Then when Adam alayhi salam informed them of their names, yani the angels of the names of those things, قَالَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَأَعْلَمُ مَا تُبْدُونَ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ. When Adam informed them of their names, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, did I not tell you that I know the unseen aspects of the heavens and the earth? And I know what you reveal and what you have concealed. So, first of all, we see over here that when the angels failed to tell the names of those things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then asked Adam alayhi salam in front of the angels that you tell the angels the names of these things. And Adam alayhi salam told them the names of those things without making any mistake. He was able to recall, he was able to identify, and he was able to use those words and inform the angels of the names of every single one of those things. So Adam alayhi salam gave the answer based on the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taught him. فَلَمَّا أَنْبَأَهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ. When Adam alayhi salam informed the angels of those names. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Adam alayhi salam tell the angels of the names of those things. Why? So that the angels would see that Adam knows what we do not know. That Adam has a unique ability to learn, to grasp. Adam has a unique skill. They would see through this the superiority of Adam over the rest of the creatures. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, did I not tell you that I know the unseen of the skies and the earth? غيب السماوات والأرض, the unseen of the skies and the earth. غيب is that which is hidden from us. That which we're not able to observe, that which we're not able to reach, all right? Because it's hidden. It could be something of the past, it could be something of the future, we're not able to reach that. Or it could be something behind a veil, it could be something that is too distant from us, it could be something that is in a different dimension, all right? Or that is too small for our eyes to observe, or that sound is too low for our ears to grasp, okay? For our ears to perceive. So, غيب is that which is hidden from us. But nothing is hidden from Allah. إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. I know the unseen of the skies and the earth. The angel said about Adam, about this Khalifa, that this Khalifa will create fasad and will cause bloodshed, right? They did not know what exactly this Khalifa was going to do on the earth. Because they don't know the future, right? They don't know that within the children of Adam will be Nuh alayhi salam, Idris alayhi salam, Yusuf alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, right? They did not know that. So who has that knowledge? It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has that knowledge. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, did I not tell you that I know the unseen of the skies and the earth, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them before that inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun, I know what you do not know. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I told you that I know the unseen of the skies and the earth. Because the unseen of the skies and the earth, what is hidden from us, is part of what? Is part of inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun, I know what you do not know. And then Allah said, wa a'lamu ma tubduna wa ma kuntum taktumun, and I know what you reveal and what you have been concealing, what you used to conceal. Now the angels revealed something, right? And what is it that they revealed? Their question that ataj'alu fiha man yufsidu fiha wa yasfiku ad-dima, right? Their assumption that the human being, this Khalifa, will create facade and cause bloodshed on the earth. They express that. They reveal that, right? But there's something that they did not reveal. They hid that. وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ, what you have been hiding. All right? And what is it that they were hiding? What is it that they did not express? They did not say that was, that they did not reveal. It was their assumption that Allah would not create a creation that would be more knowledgeable and more honorable than the angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I know that also. I know that assumption too, which you did not reveal. Or the ulama say that وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ, this is actually referring to Iblis, all right? Because Iblis was among the angels, okay? Even though Iblis is a jinn, he was among them. Because of his piety, because of his devotion and such. So he was among them, but in Iblis was arrogance, which he was hiding, was insincerity, which he was concealing, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that too. And the arrogance of Iblis had not come out yet. The insincerity of Iblis had not been revealed yet, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew it before even it was revealed. It will be revealed in the following verses, all right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew it before even it came out. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu explained that وَأَعْلَمُ مَا تُبْدُونَ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ, this means that I know the hidden just as I know the apparent. Subhanallah. Yani, whether we reveal something or we hide it, we express it or we keep it in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. So a number of things we learn from this ayah. First of all, we learned that Adam alayhi salam obeyed the command of Allah when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, أَنْبِئْهُمْ, inform them. What did Adam alayhi salam do? He informed them right away. فَلَمَّا أَنْبَأَهُمْ, right? He informed them right away. He obeyed the command of Allah. Then we also learn from this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what the hearts conceal. Whether it is an assumption or a feeling or an intention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that. We also learn from this that the angels are also rational beings. Yani, they are able to conceal and reveal. Right? And they also feel fear, as mentioned in the Quran. Hatta ida fuzzi'a an qulubihim. So fear is removed from their hearts. Yani they also experience fear. But of course, the nature of the angels is different from that of the human beings. The way that human beings think and learn is different from the angels. Then we also learn from this ayah about the complete knowledge of Allah, the vastness of Allah's knowledge, that nothing at all is hidden from Him. As Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-An'am, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ. And with Him, with Allah, are the keys of the unseen. None knows them except He. He knows what is in the land and in the sea. And not a leaf falls except that He knows it. And there is no grain in the darkness of the earth. And nothing wet or dry except that it is in a clear record. So not only does Allah know everything, He has also recorded everything. Subhanallah. We also learn from this ayah that the knowledge of the unseen is only with Allah. Inni a'lamu ghayba as-samawati wal ard. The knowledge of the unseen is only with Allah and not with the creation. And if a person, for example, the Prophet ﷺ was informed of some matters of the unseen, not all matters, but some matters, he didn't know them because he was all-knowing. No, he knew those matters because he was informed of them. Right? Absolute knowledge, including knowledge of the unseen, is only with Allah Azza wa Jal. Then we also learn from these verses that we should not raise objections at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decrees. Why? Because Allah's knowledge is vast. His decisions are based on His wisdom. And we should surrender to the commands of Allah with samirna wa atarna. We should not object at why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us a certain way, why your hair is a certain texture, why your nose is a certain shape, why you are tall or short, why your skin is a certain way. No, these are not things that you should object about. These are things that you accept. Because every decision of Allah is based on His wisdom and some benefit. He does not do anything uselessly. وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاءَ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا لَاعِبِينَ. We did not create the sky and the earth and what is between them too in play. And this is not useless. This is not frivolous. All right? And we should continue to be obedient to the commands of Allah. And we should also accept the decrees of Allah. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees something, be pleased with His decree. Don't be unhappy with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed. When you are happy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decree, then you will have contentment. And you will be able to enjoy life. Because being happy with Allah's decree means that you are focused on what Allah has given you. All right? And if you are unhappy with that, then what does that mean? You are not looking at what Allah has given you. You're looking at what Allah decided not to give you for a wisdom and a benefit that He knows. And we learn that those people who are pleased with the decree of Allah will have the highest ranks on the Day of Judgment. Why? Because being pleased with the decree of Allah means that you are focusing on what you can do, what you do have. And you are forward thinking. You're not stuck in the past. You're not stuck in the whys, the why this and why that. And being pleased with the decrees of Allah means that you are focused on what you can do and you are increasing in your good deeds. And that means more high ranks on the Day of Judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to wholeheartedly accept His decrees, to trust His knowledge, to trust His wisdom. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to increase in our beneficial knowledge and apply that so that the superiority that He has given us over the rest of the creatures in this world becomes a means of real superiority on the Day of Judgment in ad-darajatul ula, in high degrees of paradise. Ameen. Inshallah, we will conclude over here for today. The next class will be on next Friday. So this class is only on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And next week also, we will continue with the story of Adam alayhi salam. There's, of course, the part about when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the angels to prostrate to Adam. And we will talk about how Iblis refused. And then also when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Adam alayhi salam and Hawa to reside in Jannah, and how they were tested over there, and how Iblis caused them to slip, and then how they were sent to the world. So inshallah, we'll talk about that in the next week, inshallah. All right. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.